This episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Shopify. I love that sound. It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Go to shopify.com/accidentalcreative, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. I'm also the founder of Accidental Creative and the author of a bunch of books, including The Accidental Creative, of course, Die Empty, and the new book, The Motivation Code, which is available now wherever books are sold. We live in a short-term thinking world. So many of us are obsessed with today and tomorrow and this week and this quarter. And even, I mean, we find this in our organizations, right? They're obsessed with the results this quarter and what this quarter's results are going to mean for the stock price. And sometimes that means we are not making investments in the future. And this doesn't just apply to organizations. It applies to us personally as well. If you want to thrive in 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, you need to be planting those seeds today. You need to be making little investments every single day. When we become obsessed with short-term results at the expense of long-term value, we often compromise our body of work in significant ways. Well, today's guest is going to help us work through a lot of those issues. Her name is Dori Clark. She's the author of a new book called The Long Game. And she's going to talk to us about what it takes to be a long-term thinker in a short-term obsessed world. I loved this conversation with Dori, and she's really going to help all of us think about how to think more long-term. Before we jump into the conversation with Dori, a couple of things. First of all, if you're not a subscriber to our regular newsletter, go to accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Jump on the Three Things newsletter. I send three interesting things every Sunday that I think will make you think or will help your creative process in some way. So again, accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Also, if you want to support the show, if you have been a listener for a while and you want to be a part of helping us grow Accidental Creative and the impact that we're having on the community of creative professionals, I ask you to consider becoming an AC Premium subscriber. You're going to get ad-free episodes every single week, bonus episodes. We do series. Sometimes we're in the middle of a series called Die Empty right now about my book, Die Empty. Many of those episodes are only available to AC Premium subscribers. Again, ad-free, plus you get access to the full AC archives, hundreds of episodes, back episodes going back well over a decade that you can access at any time right there in your podcast app. So again, acpremium.me if you want to subscribe to AC Premium. That's acpremium.me, and ask that you would help support the show. Well, it is so great to welcome back to the Axon Creative Podcast, Dori Clark. She is the author of a bunch of books, some phenomenal books. Her new book is called The Long Game. Actually, it's called The Long Game, but her title on her book is The Long Game. How to be a long-term thinker in a short-term world. Just hit the Wall Street Journal bestseller list, which is phenomenal. Dori, welcome back to the Axon Creative Podcast.
Todd, thank you. It's always a treat to talk with you.
So I love your work. I love that you always seem to be a couple of steps ahead of everyone else. That's the way I perceive you. Maybe you don't feel that way, but I feel like you're always publishing the book that people are just starting to realize they need. And I know what that lead time is like. You know, I know that it takes a couple of years to write and publish a book. So you're always arriving at just the right moment. And I feel like right now, you know, we're in a very short-term reactive space culturally because of COVID, because we're trying to adapt and figure out, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to make this work? And we're just kind of coming out of that. But you're telling us that we need to be thinking long-term, even though we're really in a very short-term, not just right now, we're very short-term thinking world in so many ways. You know, why is being a long-term thinker so critical in your opinion?
Well, I think being a long-term thinker is critical in general because most of us have aspirations of some kind, right? And it is just very difficult. It's not impossible, but I would say it's very, very difficult to achieve those aspirations if all you're doing is short-term thinking, because fundamentally that's reactive. It's, you know, what's coming at me? Okay, how do I deal with this? How do I pivot? That is great in a crisis, and COVID is one example. That was a great time for short-term thinking, but it is not a great way to live your entire life, because we want to end up somewhere, and reacting to a bunch of external stimuli is usually not the way. We need to be more inner-directed. We need to actually be setting the terms of the debate ourselves, which is where long-term thinking comes in. And I think you're exactly right. During the events of 2020, we overcompensated so far into the world of short-term thinking. I think now is time that we need to rebalance. So many people have almost gotten themselves into this cortisol rut where we're constantly stressed. We're constantly reacting. Even when things are calmer, we can't be calm because we've almost forgotten how to do that. And I think it's really important to take this moment and consciously choose to reset toward a more proactive long-term orientation. Because if we don't, this is not a good habit to get into.
Yeah, it's not. And I, you know, that's one of the concerns I had during COVID was, what is this going to do to the way that we think? You know, how is this shaping us as humans? I thought about this with my kids. We have three kids. What is this doing to them and their perception of the world and how they see the world? And I think in some ways it's going to produce more resilience. And I think that they've had to adapt and, you know, figure out that everything isn't always as smooth as you want it to be. At the same time, you know, there probably are going to be some long-term psychological effects. And one of those, I think, is going to be, I mean, sort of like why we had the roaring 20s after the last pandemic, right? It's like people are like living in the moment. Let's just have a good time. And of course, that led to then some other consequences down the road. But, you know, what is, if we want to discipline ourselves, and I think it might be the appropriate word, to start thinking more long term, what are some of the first things we need to do in order to position ourselves to think long term rather than short term?
Well, at a fundamental level, when it comes to long-term thinking, the way that I like to define it as a starting point is, fundamentally, long-term thinking is about asking yourself, what is it that I can do today that will make tomorrow better and easier? And I like that framing because I think oftentimes we get a little wrapped up in definitions, and sometimes people think, oh, you know, long-term thinking, I don't know if I can do that. You know, if I, you know, even came up with a long-term plan, I don't know how I'd get there, so I guess I shouldn't do it. You know, we're essentially talking ourselves out of it. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, first of all, you don't have to know how you're going to achieve your long-term plan. That's the whole thing. Let's parse it. Realistically, do you think that if you came up with a 20-year plan right now that the world literally would unfold exactly how you thought? Like, I don't know who's going to be president 4 years from now, much less 20 years from now, right? Much less world dynamics and economics and climate change or whatever. None of us have any idea how we're going to accomplish our long-term plans. What we need is a long-term intention or a long-term vision. Mm. And the goal is for us to have that, to move toward it, but to hold it lightly enough so that we are able to adapt to changing circumstances and, you know, reroute ourselves if it turns out there's going to be a detour.
Yeah, I think many people, especially people early in their career, maybe they don't believe this, but I think there's sort of this underlying hope that a career is just a long march in a steady direction, that, you know, you just sort of climb the steady hill and you arrive where you want to be. But anyone who is a little farther in their career realizes that, you know, you're going to take many twists and turns throughout your career. And, you know, also Mike Tyson who said anyone can take a punch, it's who can take a punch and get back up, right? I think that's part of the challenge for us. So, you know, what are some of the ways that we get derailed? Some of those things that get in our way, or that maybe that we get in the way of ourselves as we're trying to pursue long-term thinking?
Yeah, well, obviously the specifics vary from person to person, but in general, gatekeepers are a big one. Sure. Where we often fall down is when we are attempting to get in somewhere, do something, get hired, get into school, start writing for that publication or whatever it is, and somebody tells us no. Or sometimes it's that the process doesn't work quite the way that we thought it would. And, oh, you know, we thought it would be A to B, and no, it's not that simple. Now you have to go, you know, A to B, but through, you know, Y. Right. So all of those things, I think we, a big problem that I see, and this is part of what motivated me to write The Long Game, is that so often we are way too quick to assign authority and give away our agency to people who honestly may not deserve it. If you have one person who is a gatekeeper who tells you no, it is malpractice to your life to accept their judgment. I mean, if 100 people tell you no, then okay, there's probably a pattern there. Sure. But if one or two or three or even four are telling you no, that really may be a statistical outlier, and we owe it to ourselves to press on enough so that we can actually test, is this actually a consensus view, or is it possible that this person's having a bad day? Is it possible that you're trying to sell classical music to someone who likes heavy metal music? You know, we often give away our power far too soon, and I wanted to create a framework to enable good people with good ideas to persevere, to actually get to the other side so they can do what they were meant to do.
I love that. Okay, well, let's talk about the framework. Let's talk about the waves, if you don't mind. In The Long Game, you talk about four career waves: learning, creating, connecting, and reaping. And you write in the book, like ocean tides, we need to learn to ride each wave and then transition into the next. Trying to hold on to a wave for too long leads to frustration and stagnation, which, by the way, I have seen so often in people's lives, right, in careers. But when you can absorb the lessons of each and then gracefully shift, it enables you to keep growing, developing, and moving forward. So can you tell us a little bit about each of these waves: learning, creating, connecting, and reaping?
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, Todd, I have often seen friends and colleagues, many of my coaching clients, in situations where people feel like they're hitting a rut, or they're, you know, they've like, you know, hit some ceiling and they're not advancing, they can't figure out why. Oftentimes, if you dig a little bit into what's going on, the problem is not that they're not working hard. They are working hard. That's why it's so frustrating, because they're like, I'm doing all the things. But there's a central problem, because oftentimes what they are doing is the same thing. They are doing the thing that they're comfortable doing. They're doing the thing they like doing. They're doing the thing that they already know they're good at doing. And one of the things that doesn't get talked about a lot is that in order to really be successful over the span of your career, you can't just get away with doing one thing. Mm-hmm. We're not assembly line workers. We have to learn to do different things and to understand when a new phase is starting and to transition into that phase. And so what I've identified in The Long Game is four key phases in most people's careers, and I hope the framework can be helpful. The starting point, as you might imagine, is what I call the learning phase, because you enter a new profession, you enter a new job, you've got to figure out what the ground truth is. Like, how does this place work? Who does what? What am I supposed to do? What are the key things in the industry? What KPIs should I be keeping my eyes on? All of that. But so we move forward then, we need to move forward, not everyone does, into the next phase, which is the creating phase. And that is, okay, you've soaked up a lot of knowledge. Now what can you contribute? Start sharing your ideas. Make them manifest somehow. And it could be in ways as small as just speaking up more in meetings to let people know what you think. It could be in ways as large as starting to present at industry conferences. But it's about letting people know that you have your own perspective and can add value. Next is the connecting phase, because it's great to be smart and it's great to be good at what you do, but nobody wants to be the tree falling in the forest. You know, it doesn't do you much good if nobody knows that you have good ideas. So building connections in your company and in your industry matters a lot. And then finally, we get, you know, we get to the good stuff, and that's the reaping phase, where you feel like, you know, you're kind of going on all cylinders, things are going really well in your career, you've gotten a certain amount of acclaim, people respect what you do. And another common place where people fall down, and this often happens in sort of mid to late life, is people just want to stay there. And you can understand why, because it's pretty sweet. But the problem is, conditions change eventually. And if you are trying to ride this wave too long, then you're going to be left behind. And it's going to be incredibly demoralizing in a hard landing. And that is why it is necessary for us preemptively to make the decision to transition from the reaping phase back into the learning phase. Yeah. Now, obviously, you've already learned a lot. So this is kind of at a higher level now, but it's not an endpoint. It's a circle, because there are new things for you to learn and to start the cycle again.
Yeah. So I just wrote something about this the other day. It's in a book that's coming out soon, but it's this concept that I learned about called brachiation, which is a physical it's a physical aptitude that kids develop. Like, think about swinging on a monkey bar, right? Like a jungle gym, sort of like you're swinging from bar to bar to bar kind of thing. And at some point, you have to learn how to let go of the bar you're holding on to, sometimes even before you grab onto the next bar. If you don't get that timing right, then you're likely to end up stuck between bars because you don't have momentum any longer, right? Like, you can't go to the next place if you're still holding onto the last one. And sometimes, you know, kids, when they're learning this, they don't want to let go, so they get stuck. They reach out and they grab the next one, but they can't move to the next one because there's no momentum anymore. And I feel like that is a little bit like what you're describing. We need to learn the aptitude of letting go of the way things are so that we can embrace the way things could be well before it becomes obvious that we need to let go. You know, I think some people make the mistake of waiting until, you know, the sirens are blaring and everything is screaming at us. Like, it's, you know, you need to move, you need to learn something new, you need to develop a new skill. But by that point, often we're already past the curve in some ways. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. In the long game, I quote a friend of mine, a futurist and an author named Jonathan Brill, and he made a great point. He said the time to do something new and to make it an incursion into a new area isn't when you're weak, it's when you're strong. Because if you're doing it out of desperation, you're not going to have enough time, you're not going to have enough money to be able to get done what you need. You have to pick when you're strong so that you have the resources necessary to be able to wait long enough for that thing to work out. Yeah. And I think that's really important. I mean, I saw this in my own professional life. You probably did as well, Todd. During the pandemic, in the early days, it's like March 2020, and I am getting a million emails from people saying, "Oh, hey, Dory, I was thinking about getting into online courses." And I'm like, "Oh, you and literally everyone else in the world."
Right.
And this is not the time to get into online courses, because, you know, since everybody simultaneously decided, oh, it's an emergency, suddenly I need passive income, the chute was just too crowded. Like, you couldn't even refer people because you had 50 people wanting to get referred. The time to do it was way before you needed it.
Hey, everyone, we're going to jump back into the conversation with Dory in just a minute. Before we do, I want to remind you today's episode is brought to you by Shopify. I love that sound. It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big business. Customized for my needs, with a great-looking online store that brings my idea to life and tools to manage my day-to-day and drive sales. Making your idea real opens endless possibilities. It's a journey, but that's the beauty of entrepreneurship. Believe me, this podcast started as an idea, as an inkling, as something I wanted to do in order to help creative professionals. But without tools like Shopify, I could have never brought the Accidental Creative Podcast to the world. I love how Shopify makes it easy for anyone to successfully run their own business. Shopify powers over 1.7 million entrepreneurs just like me, from first sale to full scale. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. So get started building and customizing your online store with no coding or design experience. Plus, with 24/7 support, you're never alone. It's more than a store. Shopify grows with you. This is possibility powered by Shopify. So go to shopify.com/accidentalcreative, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/accidentalcreative right now. shopify.com/accidentalcreative. And now back to our conversation with Dori Clark.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about that then, because some people, maybe they have a vision, they have an idea of where they want to go. They just don't know what to do. You know, maybe they don't know how to get started. You know, they're thinking of, like, let's say, for example, 5 years ago or 7 years ago, you thought, you know, really, I think it's probably good for me to develop some passive income through online courses or whatever. You know, a lot of people in our space, you know, the sort of, we write books and we teach and we speak. Well, that kind of got put on hold, right, during the pandemic. So there are some of our friends who did really well because they had already been investing in figuring some of this out and they were ready to go from day one. Others, you know, it took a little while to kind of get their ducks in a row and figure out how to do this online virtual thing. But let's say that you know that's where you want to go or you want to do something. What's the process look like to get there? How do we begin?
Yeah, so this is actually exciting for me because this is where there's good news, Todd. So rare you get to be the bearer of good news. But I actually think this is an area where so many people overthink things. They assume that, I can't even go there. I have a vision, but I don't know. And, you know, I could just never figure it out. Well, of course, the point isn't that you have to know all the steps. The only thing you have to know is the next best step. That's it. Literally everything from the next step in between, you know, that and 20 years, you don't need to know, because you are going to get enhanced clarity with every step that you take. And you know what? The next best step, it might not be the right step, but it will give you more information. That's literally all we need. This is about driving over the mountain in the fog and you go one foot at a time. So if we're in 2015 and someone says, I want to learn about online courses, I mean, there's a lot of things that are rational choices. You could look on LinkedIn and see which of your friends have courses and then ask them if they're willing to talk to you and offer advice. That's one possibility. You could, and you know, not a bad one, because they can probably guide you. You could probably find some kind of book or article. If you have a friend that perhaps works at a company that offers online courses, you could reach out and ping them and ask about the process. But you know, you could even hire a coach. There's a lot of people that coach for almost anything, and even for things where they might not have thought of themselves as, oh, I do coaching in X. If you offer them the chance to, you know, that you'll pay them to coach an X, they might actually consider doing that. Yeah. And it will teach you the next thing. You might say, oh, well, gosh, what I need to do is create a course syllabus. How would I create a course syllabus? And then you have your next problem to solve. But I think we often assume we need to know more than we do. All we need to do is take some action which gives us a certain degree of increased clarity, and that is enough to get to our destination.
Yeah, I love that, the next best step. I think that's a great framework for us within the vision, right? The bounds of the vision that we're pursuing. But even if you fail, even if you fall down, even if something doesn't work, it's just an experiment along the way toward that ultimate end. I love that as a framework.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you raise a really important point. One of the drums that I beat in the long game is that one of the ways to conquer failure, and I say this advisedly, is if it is a small enough step, it is literally inappropriate to apply the term failure to it. It just doesn't even make sense anymore. You know, if you and I go to Las Vegas and you lose a dollar, That is not a failure. No one cares. It's a dollar. Right. And the question for all of us is if we can take small enough steps that if it doesn't turn out that way, that's fine. You weren't invested. Okay, fine. I'll do something else. I'll try something else. I'll see if this is a way to, into it. And if we keep having that attitude, it enables us to just be generous with ourselves and to understand that one particular methodology is not make or break. There's a lot of ways to get to the destination.
Yeah. We've been talking with Dori Clark. She's the author of a new book, Wall Street Journal best-selling book called The Long Game, How to Be a Long-Term Thinker in a Short-Term World. Dori, if people want to learn more about you and your work, where would you send them?
Todd, thank you so much. My website is the big repository with 700 plus free articles for places I've written, like Harvard Business Review. It's doriclark.com. And if folks are interested in the long game concept about how to apply strategic thinking to your life and your career, you can get a free long game self-assessment at doriclark.com/the long game.
Fantastic. Well, Dori, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, my man. Great to be here with you.
Well, thank you again to Dori Clark. Hey, friends, let's be long-term thinkers. Let's make investments today that will pay off tomorrow. Let's start building what we want to be doing 2 years, 5 years from now today, or who we want to be 2 years or 5 years from now today. Small incremental steps every single day. All right? Can we commit to doing that together? That'd be great. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or join AC Premium if you want to support the show at acpremium.me. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.